This is a Sound Rebel podcast.
Discover more of our shows at soundrebel.co.uk.
Hello, fellow FPLers. Welcome to another episode of Triple Captain Extra with me, your host, Luke Jurdy. I am at Luke Jurdy on socials, and we are at FPL Triple Cap, so give us a follow on there. You can also join our Discord. The link is in our Twitter bio. We have lots of chat on Discord. It's great fun on there, and everybody has a laugh about FPL, and we help each other with our decisions. So check that out if you can. We're about to head into game week 10, and in this episode I will, as always, give you an update on our mini leagues. There possibly some changes there at the top after a kind of mad game week 9. I'll also talk through my final wildcard team, which obviously started in game week 9. I didn't speak about that much on the main pod. I think I just said what my points were. I've got a few yellow flags, so I'll talk through them like everybody has. Then I'm going to briefly talk through some key stats from game week 9 that I noticed, things to be aware of. And then I've completely forgotten and lost my train of thought after key stat. Oh yes, that's it. We've got lots of questions, so the episode will mainly be dedicated to answering questions. We've got some on the Discord, some on Twitter. So to kick us off, let's look at the mini leagues. Weird that the app, whenever I load the app now, says checking for existing team. Always gives me a little bit of heart in mouth, just in case I've been hacked. Thank goodness I haven't. So triple captain, that's the extra league. Let's do triple captain fantasy league. So the main pod, we will do top six. In sixth place, we have Nathan Wilcox with Internacional 638. I think he's a new entry there, Nathan. In joint fourth place, we have Connor McBean. Hi, Connor, friend of the Discord, 639 points. We have Liverpool Golden Skies, play for the badge, 639. Also, they're joint fourth. Darren Anthony Hoy in third place. King Ings Mings, 641. Second place, new entry, it is my good friend Cameron Moore. I was on Hollyoaks with Cameron, Cam, and he has started to take FPL seriously in the last two seasons, and he's really good at it. And he's second in the Triple Captain Fantasy League. I'm very, very jealous. He's beating me in our Hollyoaks League, and he scored a massive 119 points this game week. He has James, he has Alexander-Arnold, he has Phil Foden, he has Smith Rowe, and he captained Salah, of course, and Antonio he's got as well. So he continues to do really, really well, and I mean, it's going to take a lot for me to catch him. I'm fairly behind at the moment, but I'll keep it going. In first place, new entry at first place, Heads and Bollies, Martin Phillips, 650 points, 120 point game week. Wow. He's got Mason Mount, Captain Salah. He's also got Smith Rowe, Alexander Arnold. He played Livermento. I think Livermento came on as a sub. But great work, Martin Phillips. You are top of the Triple Captain Fantasy League. Triple Captain Extra League in fifth place. Joint fifth place, Phil Campitt hanging on in there. No Coke, drink water. Joint fifth with FPL Hortz, Ian Horton, Headless Chickens, both on 635. Ian Horton is in the other mini league that I'm part of. The Warhorse mini league, and he is in front of me. This, I've beat him the last couple of seasons, but he's having a really good one, but I'm coming for him this season. Thibaut Marico in fourth place, one man, one SAR, 637. Love and Rockets, third place, Carl Hellier's team, 638. Joint with Nathan Wilcox, Internacional, 638. And in first place, Frederick Eriksson, Marsilius FC, 657. A massive 127 point game week. He's got Foden, he's got Mount, and he captained Salah, and he's got Reece James. I mean, that's quality. Well done to you, mate. I'm very, very jealous of those Foden and Mount points. So Brilliant stuff there. So that's the mini leagues done. And my wildcard team, I got 100 points on my wildcard. I think actually my old team would have still scored quite highly. But having said that, I'm really, really happy with my wildcard team. And I'll run through it now. Ramsdale in goal, three-pointer for him. I did have Sanchez, who got 4 points, but we won't talk about that. TAA and Cancelo with 10 and 1. New entry into my team, Ben Chilwell. Great start, 12-pointer from him. I had Livramento on the bench, unfortunately. Big 9-pointer from him. And I've also got Matt Lowton, who got an assist. So quite happy with that, but he was unfortunately on my bench. Midfield, Havertz. We spoke about him. We know all about him. I didn't captain him, thankfully. I captained Mo Salah. Rafinha with 1 point, and Son is who I went for in the end. 2 points from Heung-min Son, but I'm really, really happy to own him. And I think I'm slightly ahead of the curve. In the end, I actually went, although I also went with Mbeumo as my fifth midfielder. And in the end, I went with Armando Broja, Callum Wilson and Antonio up front. Now, I know that I mentioned on the extra pod that I was definitely going with Antonio. I also thought I was going with Ivan Toney. He was almost a definite, but at the last minute, I kind of changed my mind and went for, because I've got Mbeumo, I thought I'm going to take a punt on Broja and I'm also going to take a punt on Callum Wilson. Two big differentials there and they both scored. So I was really, really happy with that to start with. I hope they can continue the form. Unfortunately, Broja's injured this week and we're not sure when he's coming back, but I think I'll hold for now. I guess what's good about that is not everybody will jump on him this week because of his injury. So I can maybe bench him. And the fact he's a 5 million forward means that I knew I would bench him now and again anyway. And I've got Mbeumo, I've got Livramento, I've got Lowton to come in. So I think that's my plan this week. So that was my final wildcard team. I've got Foster on the bench, of course. And I'm pretty happy going into game week 10. Okay, so game week 9. Key stats. Let me just load up my notes here. Here we go. Phil Foden topped the shots charts. Huge 8 shots against Brighton, all 8 coming in the box. He had 2 big chances with an XG of 1.37. And he also created 2 chances and 1 big chance. They are monstrous stats. He's now started 4 games in a row. And he looks undroppable. He was rested in the Carabao midweek. He came on and then I believe he missed a penalty. But he didn't come on till like 65, 66 minutes, I think. So chances are he's going to start against Palace. Since his first start in game week 6 against Chelsea, he's averaging 2 shots on target per game, second to only Mo Salah in that time. So we can't ignore him for long. But just as always with City players, make sure your bench is strong. But Foden in. Buy him if you can. I don't think I will be, because it would either involve a hit. And as I've just said, I've read out my midfield. It looks like Rafinha is going to be fit this week. I couldn't afford to go to Foden from Rafinha. I'd have to take a hit to do that. I don't. The other option would be to move Havertz out for Foden. It feels silly to do that before Havertz plays Newcastle. I mean, you never even know if Havertz might even be benched. I mean, I think he played the full 90 in the Carabao Cup, but it would just not feel right. There's a reason I put him in, and to make that move to Foden when Foden's not guaranteed to start either, it just feels like it could end in disaster for me. If you can get to him and there's an easy move, say from Benrahma or something like that, get Foden in. But for me, I'm going to hold off and just hope he doesn't punish me too much. Mo Salah continues to be a monster. Goal and assist potential. His finishing's improved this season and he's on track for his best yet. Captain, set and forget most weeks. It'd be mad not to. I know I'm repeating a lot of other people there, but it's my opinion as well. Quick word on Mason Mount. He scored 3 from his 4 shots on target and was arguably lucky to not lose points from his penalty. Of course, Kroll strayed off his line slightly. Mount had a great game, but in my opinion, Foden has much more upside. Since the start of the season, Mount averages 1.1 shots in the box per appearance, which is a stat better by over 20 players. But his assist potential is where you get the points from, though, right? Well, possibly not. His 1.6 chances created per start is level with Scott McTominay. However, the quality of his chances created are up there with the best. 0.8 big chances created per start is the best in the Premier League from players who have started more than two games. So, quality-wise, Mason Mount is creating really, really good chances. And who knows, that hat-trick might kickstart his goal-scoring ability too. But just keep in mind, he scored three from his four shots on target. So, and one of them was a penalty. So for me, Foden is the better shout for now. Bukayo Saka continues to disappoint owners, but perhaps should be doing a bit better. He had another four shots in game week 9, three of them in the box, and an XG of 0.5 suggests he should have scored his big chance. He also created three chances and one big chance. So on another day, he could have had a monster haul there. So that's unlucky for Saka owners. I would hold if you own Saka. Should we keep ignoring Mateo Kovacic at 5.3 million? Six chances created, two big chances created, and an XA of 0.95 against Norwich. But was it the opposition? Perhaps not. He ranks second behind Andros Townsend amongst midfielders under 5.7 million for chances created, and he is first for big chances created. He's created four. However, six of his 13 and two of his four big chances created came against Norwich. He's top for XA as well in that time for midfielders under 5.7 million. His assist potential far outweighs that of Twitter favourite Brian Mbeumo, who hasn't created a single big chance this season. But where Mbeumo becomes the better option is goal threat. Mbeumo's had 22 shots to Kovacic's 12, 14 shots in the box compared to four. He's had five big chances compared to two, and his XG is 2.49, and Kovacic's is 1.15. However, Mbeumo has to become more clinical if he is to be a better option than Kovacic, who has 46 FPL points compared to Mbeumo's 30. Just the five shots on target from 22 isn't good enough. As I've spoken about before, I'm a big believer in probability, and probability tells me that Mbeumo is going to improve. I think the quality is clearly there. I think he can finish, and I think with these good fixtures, points should come for Brian Mbeumo. So who is the best option in midfield from that 5.7 million and below category? Well, there's a few to choose from. There's Mbeumo, there's Gallagher, Click from Leeds, Elyounoussi, Townsend, Smith Rowe all have impressive stats. Gallagher tops it for XG to go with his five big chances, which is level with Mbeumo. However, his recent form has dropped off with an XG of just 0.55 since game week 5. Townsend, Mbeumo, ESR, and surprisingly, Klitsch are all still up there from game week 5 to 9. There's not much to choose between them at all. For goal and assist threat, it comes down to Townsend and Smith Rowe. I mean, I couldn't bring myself to select Click when I own Rafinha. I don't think you should go double Leeds. Arsenal and Everton both sit quite low on the fixture ticker, but with Arsenal's recent form, I'd plump for Emil Smith Rowe. I mean, I've gone with Mbeumo on wildcard, and the temptation with him that has reeled us all in is the fact that he's OOP and Brentford's brilliant fixtures, and I've just spoken about him. I do think the points will come, and I'll be holding for now. If Brentford score, which I'm sure they will in those fixtures, he's likely to be involved. Josh King had the highest XG of game week 9 after his revenge hat-trick against old club Everton. Six shots, five in the box, four big chances. Will he be the main man for Ranieri? Fixtures are pretty horrible, so we can wait and watch for now. He's already gone up in price because, of course, the casuals will look, see that he scored a hat-trick and put him in. But for me, not quite yet. Christian Benteke posted some great stats again, but he underperformed, as is his way. Huge five big chances fell to him against Newcastle, and Palace were unlucky again. He had seven shots in the box with an XG of 1.83. He did get his goal, so he didn't underperform mass. You know, it's not like he blanked. He did score. Since the start of the season, his stats are decent per start. 2.3 shots in the box, one big chance per start. That's big. 0.42 XG, 4.8x points. So he's underperforming by around 1.3 points per start. That's 11 points in total. So if he was achieving If he wasn't underperforming, he'd be level with Ivan Toney on total points so far. And from game week 11 to 18, Palace sit second on the fixture ticker. Could that be the time they realise their potential and Benteke starts banging them in? I'm going to keep an eye on him because he has got previous form. At the end of last season, he started banging in the goals. Is it enough to stick him in before he kind of shows real form? I don't know, but it's worth keeping an eye on with those stats. We have to mention Aubameyang. He wasn't really in the conversation to replace Lukaku. His XG versus Villa of 1.39 was slightly better than Phil Foden. And he had two big chances to go with his four shots in the box. He's fourth for XG this season amongst forwards, but is still languishing behind on a lot of other stats. He doesn't have a lot of assist potential either. I think you'd be brave to go with Aubameyang. But as we know, he has the potential to haul against the lesser teams. So that's Aubameyang. What else we got? Has there ever been as much goal threat from defenders as this season? Ben Chilwell has 4 in 4 and Reece James got in on the act two, albeit against Norwich. I wouldn't expect them to continue such good goal scoring form because both of them scored with their only shot on target. Has Tony Rudiger got more goal threat than we thought? He had 4 shots, 2 in the box and 2 outside the box with a half decent XG of 0.21. Perhaps owners playing it safe with Rudiger will be rewarded with attacking returns soon. He did get an assist against Norwich. João Cancelo continues to post good numbers with another 4 shots against Brighton. He had 3 of those were on target. However, they were all outside the box. An XG of 0.45 suggests goals will come, as he showed us in the Champions League. So I'm really happy to own Cancelo. I think he's a great option. Tino Livramento rapidly showing us he should be starting in our teams every game week. I've left his 9 points on the bench, sadly. He had 3 shots in the box, XG of 0.52 this week, which is top of all defenders at his price of 4.4 million. Wow. Created 3 chances too. You can't touch him at that price bracket, and I'm so glad I got him in when he was 4 million. Still bargain of the season for me. Get him while you can. Teams to target. In the last 6 matches, Norwich, Watford, Villa, United, Newcastle and Spurs all fare badly for XGC. That's expected goals conceded. Norwich and Watford have faced the most shots, with United also in the bottom 5 for shots on target conceded. Watford, Norwich, United, Newcastle and Villa are the bottom 5 for big chances conceded, and it is the same bottom 5 for non-penalty expected goals conceded. Who would have thought we'd see United there at the start of the season? I'd expect Watford and Newcastle to improve slightly with new managers, but they are the worst teams in the league defensively so far. Watford, Norwich, United, Newcastle and Aston Villa. Sorry, Ben. So who faces these teams in game week 10? So Leeds play against Norwich. Rafinha would still be my pick from Leeds. Chelsea face Newcastle. Take your pick from Chelsea. I've picked Mount, Havertz, Chilwell, Reece James and Kovacic. Watford versus Southampton. Southampton play Watford. As I said, not quite sure what Watford are going to do under Ranieri, so a little bit more difficult to predict. But Livramento, great option. Broja, who is unfortunately injured this game week. So Livra will be my pick there. Spurs play United. Son and Kane, of course. Only picks from Spurs that you should consider. And West Ham play against Villa. Obviously, Antonio would be my pick there. So there's a few differential captain picks in there, but you'd be mad to go anyone other than Salah. It doesn't matter about a team's defensive capabilities when Liverpool and Salah are playing as they are. I would even go as far as to say they're the best team in the Premier League right now. Transfers for me. I think I'm probably going to roll the free transfer. I've got a few yellow flags, Rafinha and Mbeumo and Broja. Obviously, Broja's been confirmed out. Thomas Frank said Mbeumo is likely to be fit, so I think I'm going to take the risk and play him. And I'm waiting on news of Rafinha. If Rafinha is out for longer than one game week, I'll most likely move him on to possibly Mason Mount, possibly Bukayo Saka. Or I could take a -4 if Rafinha's injured and go Rafinha to Foden and Mbeumo to Brownhill. I don't think I want to move Mbeumo on, actually. But it would involve a minus four to get Rafinha to Foden, but it all depends on how long he's out injured for. I need to wait for Bielsa's press conference. I'm hoping I can roll the free transfer so that I've got two next week. Right, questions. Here we go. I'm going to start with Discord. Triple Captain Extra. Here we go. Roger Booth, with the lack of premium strikers, is a Salah Mane double up viable? I think you should certainly consider it. Yeah, I don't see why not. I think without Ronaldo, without Lukaku, if you're not going Vardy, if you're not going Kane, at the moment, I've not gone for any premium striker. I've gone for two mid-price in Antonio and Wilson and then a bargain basement in Broja. So I think it's worth considering a Salah Mane double up. Yes, particularly when Liverpool's fixtures are good. We've got to get in on their attack and it might be worth having an extra player in there. At the moment, my team doesn't quite fit that. I've got Salah and Son and then Havertz as an 8 million option. But if I downgraded Havertz, I could move Son up to Mane. So I definitely think it's worth considering. Speaking of Havertz, James Priestley asks, is it Havertz or Sellertz? Or is that the reactionary thinking that got so many of us into this mess? Yes, it's Havertz for me. I'm gonna keep him. I don't think you should knee-jerk him out after one game week. There's a reason we've put him all in. We've all put him in. Stick with him for now. Steve OJW79, he's not asking a question, he's just saying it's his turn this week. I'm going to give him another chance against Newcastle, and what the hell, I might even captain him. Fair play, Steve, who triple captained him this week. Ben Carthy asks, replacements for Raf and Mbeumo, both flagged, and also Leeds just don't look at it, and I think I need to move Rafinha on anyway. Kind of answered that with the stats that I ran through there. If I was moving Rafinha on, I'd move him on for Mason Mount or Bukayo Saka, I think. And if I was moving Mbeumo on, I would move him on for Emil Smith Rowe. Roger Booth, what to do with Ronaldo? We spoke about this earlier on the Discord. I'd be tempted to keep Ronaldo for this week. I don't think he's ever gone longer than four games in the Premier League without scoring a goal. I don't know if that stat's right, but it's something I saw. It's very rare for Ronaldo to go a long time without scoring a goal. He is due a goal. And there's something about this weekend that I think United might pull a performance out of their arses. I don't know where that's come from. Perhaps it's wishful thinking as a United fan. I badly, badly want Ole to turn it around. I don't think he will, and I think he should go. There's just something about this week where I think it's one of those moments. Can he turn it around? And if I owned Ronaldo, I would keep him. If there's ever going to be a hero, it's him. Sedge, I really fancy going big at the back. Liverpool, Chelsea and Man City are full of clean sheets and play such attacking football. Is this logical? Or again, is it just a reaction from the weekend where Chilwell and TAA return big? P.S. Wish I'd given this proper thought before my failed wild card last week. Ah, gutted, Sedge. Well, I'm hoping that your wild card isn't going to be a failure, and I think you should judge it much more on more than one week. So stick with the players you've got for now. There's a reason that you chose them in the first place. They deserve at least three or four game weeks, possibly even more than that, to see if you've made the right decisions. But big at the back is certainly a strategy that you could do. I mean, I've got three premium defenders. I've got TAA, I've got Cancelo, and I've got Chilwell. They're backed up with Livramento and Lowton as budget options. For me, I think three is enough, but I certainly wouldn't be against, say, Cancelo and Diaz from City, Chilwell and Rudiger from Chelsea, and TAA. A big five at the back there. You're putting your eggs in City and Chelsea baskets, but more often than not, they're going to get clean sheets, particularly with Chelsea's fixtures and City are fixture-proof. I certainly wouldn't be against that five at the back. It might upset the balance of the team elsewhere, but have a little look, see if you can do it and see where you have to downgrade elsewhere. But as we know, there's quite a lot of good midfielders in that 5.5 million bracket and under. Great. Those were questions from the Discord. I'm now going to go on to Twitter. So what we got? Chris Dickinson at CG Dickinson. Is Havertz worth the premium over Mount? Oh, good question. I think if it was a straight shoot between the two of them right now, I'd probably bring in Mason Mount. But then that is recency bias because he's just scored a hat-trick. But if you look at the stats, Mount does post better numbers than Havertz. So I don't think Havertz is worth the premium over Mount. Neil Scranage, is it ever worth taking a -4 for changing a goalkeeper? I swapped Sanchez for Ramsdale this week. Oh, we've answered that. I think we answered that on the main pod. No, it's never worth taking a -4 for a goalkeeper unless your goalkeeper's injured and they're going to score 0 points. Brilliant. So those are my thoughts for game week 10. Try not to be too reactionary. Wait for the press conferences to be completed tomorrow. I know the temptation is to rage transfer out Havertz and do drastic surgery to your team if you've had a bad game week, but just try and stick with it and don't do anything too drastic. Chances are the players that you've picked will come good. There's a reason that you picked them. Great. Good luck, everybody, for game week 10. Keep an eye out for my video of the game week. Not sure what I'm going to write yet, of course, because the matches haven't been played. But keep an eye out for that. And I will speak to you all next week.
Hi, we're Sound Rebel, the people that produce this podcast.
We make loads of entertainment shows like this one, but we also make informative and educational podcasts for brands. Brands who know that podcasts are the fastest growing broadcast medium in the world and who want to build their audiences online with their very own podcast.
We work with magazines, digital creators, influencers, and industry experts.
From idea development through to distribution to all of the major podcast apps like Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Podcasts, we make making your podcast easy.
And tell us you heard this ad, and we'll produce your first episode for free.
So email hello@soundrebel.co.uk now, and we can get the ball rolling on your new podcast this week.